Thank you. More or less details, because I only have 10 minutes now, and yesterday I had 1 hour. But I will summarize the study that we have been running for 3 years in the forest of the domain, the national domain of Chambord. And I haven't done this study alone, because three master students participated, so Ophélie, Soline, Manon, and colleagues, Marion, Francis, and Jean-Louis Janot, who is present in the room today, have participated to this study. So we have all prepared this talk indirectly. And I will talk about the impact of wild ungulates on the soil properties in temperate forest. So we have talked enough about the effect of ungulates in forests, and we haven't yet talked about soils in this conference. And indeed, it is not the first compartment that the ecologists talk about. So I wanted to focus on that, because we know from the literature that ungulates are ecosystem engineers. They can modify soil properties positively or negatively. They can affect later on water quality and aquatic populations, but they can also have a strong effect, as we have seen, on forest regeneration, species diversity, and plant cover, which is more a negative effect, and a more positive effect by habitat creation, plant species richness, and species dispersion. So to focus more on soil compartments, three effects of ungulates can be observed, which are rooting, trampling, browsing and grazing, which will all affect the soil compartments, especially these types of variables such as compaction of soil, soil roughness, the structure of the soil, the porosity, or the texture. It will also affect plant cover, the pH, and other chemical variables of the soil, which will in turn affect soil fauna, which is one of the main indicators of soil health. And altogether, it may affect water and nutrient cycle. So after studying the literature, we can see that all the studies related to this are very contradicted, and some effects are positive, some are negative, depending on many factors, but it's absolutely not clear. And there is a lack of studies related to water and nutrient cycle, and especially how the water will enter into the soil, which is one of the most important parameters for feeding animals in the soil and for vegetation regrowth later on, which we are talking about in the forest of Chambord, to try to help the forest regeneration. So water cycle is very important, and we don't know a lot about it. And another point that is not well known in this field is also how the soil can recover after a disturbance by the ungulates, which invited us to ask two questions. The first question is to assess the impact of high-density populations of wild ungulates on biophysical chemical properties, and especially on the water cycle in the soil under forest plantations, and how the soil can recover after 2 years disturbance, without disturbance. And these two questions are strongly linked with the will of Chambord to produce natural tourisms and help the forest to be more healthy, even if the hunting part is still the main objective. So we have a route in Chambord, for sure, now we know. And as you have heard already, because Chambord is a hunting estate, the density of ungulates is higher than in the French average. These are numbers that may change and that I found in a publication from 2019 about the hunting bags, and it's approximately 10 times more than in the French average. So we are in a very nice context for studying high density population of ungulates and their impacts on soil properties. The experimental design we have set up for answering these two questions is explained here, and I talked about it a lot yesterday, but you were not all here. We have done four measurements along 3 years. So T0 is for the starting point of the experiment. And at each point, we have measured many variables related to soil that I will describe after. And in each time, we have done a routing by putting maize into the soil for having the wide bores coming and rooting the soil to make sure that at least, even if animals don't come, we have one rooting effect per year. And we have set up three types of treatments. One type for control, which were fenced at the beginning of the experiment and not touched after. Another type which have been rooted one time at the beginning and fenced just after for studying the soil recovery during 2 years. And then we have left open three replicates for having the several time rooted sites and for comparing the three types of treatments. And because in the Chambord forest we have mostly pines and oaks cover, we wanted to compare the two types of forest cover. So we have replicated this protocol under the two situations, under pines and under oaks. So the different variables that we have measured, I will go very quickly, otherwise I will not have time for results. They deal mostly about water infiltration, which was our main focus, soil rugosity and soil compaction, together with macrofauna, which is also very important because I will talk about it during the results. So we have deduced several variables linked to these measurements. And we have completed all those measurements together with physical and chemical measurements in the soil, such as bulk density and carbon content, and so on. So as the main results, I would like to show you today, even if we are still analyzing the results at the moment, I try to extract the most important results, which could still evolve a little bit after more analysis. We clearly had different types of soils under pines and under oaks sites. So you can see in this, what we call the PCA, principal component analysis, that we use in statistics in ecology, we can see the samples we have taken here with the numbers under pine stand and under oak stands. They are clearly separated in terms of the different variables we have measured, and the differences comes from these variables. So you can read it like that. It looks complicated, but it's quite easy actually. Because pine stand is on the left, all the variables mentioned here on the left are higher under pine stand. So we have more vegetation, more rugosity index, more sand, and more bulk density at the pine. While we have more humidity, more CEC, more clay content, more manganese, more potassium in the soil under oak stand. The main difference between these two sites are linked to the clay content, actually, which modify the humidity and makes the main difference between pine and oak. And it's important because later on it will have an effect on the water cycle and on the fauna.
Related to the effect of wide angles on soil properties, this is still another PCA. And I will just tell you what we have to see on this graphic. On the left part, we have a T0. So it was before the first disturbance, before the first routing. And you can see the three colors are related to our three treatments: control plots, return one time, return several times. So it was routed one and routed several times. And you can just see that they are all mixed. So it looks similar in terms of chemical and physical properties, because they don't show any pattern actually. And you can see that at T1 on the right side, after the first routing, the control plots, which are black points, are separated from the routed one time and routed several times, because we haven't touched the control plots, and it indicates that one routing has affected the soil properties of the routed one time and routed several times. What is a little bit more complicated is what happens after T1, at T2 and at T3. The story starts to be a little bit more complex, and I extracted just a few points. The first one is that we saw very strong annual variations among the variables, which is partly due to climate, which changed a lot between the different years. But not only, we also could see an effect of treatments, and especially on the soil microfauna. So what we could see on the soil microfauna is that, I will take first what happens under the oak stand. The control plots did not change a lot, just plus 3% of diversity in the control plots in 3 years, because these numbers are the difference between the first year and the last year of the experiment. So we can see that the control plots do not change at all, while we have fenced them for 3 years. While in the return one time and return several time plots, we have a decrease of around -25% of fauna diversity in the plot. So it showed us that the routing and the impact of wide angulates on the soil microfauna is quite high and decreased the soil microfauna. Under the pine stand, we have similar tendency, but it's 3 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, it's fine. But it's much stronger. So we can see here that the soil properties under the pine stand increase the effect of wide angulates due to less clay content and probably less humidity, which affect macrofauna. So the macrofauna decrease much more under pine stand. So this was our main reasons. We also found some results of some effect of wide angulates on clay content and CaO, which is calcium content, that increased after the presence of wide angulates, while we found no significant effect for all other variables. So I was a little bit disappointed not to see more effect. But actually, we have some effect on the macrofauna, and for us it's very important because, as I said, macrofauna is one of the most important indicators of soil health and then probably vegetation regeneration later on. So this is the first, the most important results. And there were differences depending on the types of cover, which is linked to the type of soil, actually. So as a main conclusion, I would like to say that the soil types is very heterogeneous in this estate, and would need to be better understood or better known for better managed the different sites
if we know where the heterogeneity is. And after 2 years, unfortunately, it's not sufficient for seeing any soil recovery. So this kind of study should continue for longer term for seeing when the recovery starts to happen. So I thank you for having the opportunity to present these results, and we are continuing to analyze and to write scientific articles on that subject. Thank you very much.